Hey, and welcome to You Missed It! This is Andrew, and I had I got to pick the movie this week, and I picked an animated movie again. So,
starting to be a thing.
Yeah, just gonna throw out the social media before I forget. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Instagram, Facebook. You missed it on Facebook. And on Twitter, where it is YMI podcast.
YMI_podcast.
Don't forget that or you will never find us. So with that out of the way, the movie that I did pick this week was The Rescuers Down Under, back from 1990. So about pretty old. It actually came out during the Disney Renaissance, right at the beginning of that. So it's directed by, I'm going to butcher this. Well, no, I won't. I'll be okay. Hendel Butoy. That's like a half butcher. And Mike Gabriel. It starred Bob Newhart, Eva Gabor, John Candy, Adam Ryan, George C. Scott, and Tristan Rogers.
Eva Gabor.
Yeah, you butchered that one.
Oh. You butchered that one. No,
that's okay. I'll butcher many names. music was by Bruce Broughton, which is a highlight for me. It had a budget of $37.93 million and a box office of $47.4 million. So it made a profit, but not too significant. It was pretty good, but upon release, it actually wasn't received that well. It was mixed reception. So it was a bit of it didn't do as well as a lot of the other films that Disney put out during that Renaissance period. So just a quick background on the film. It was released November 16, 1990. It's the 29th Disney film, but it was a sequel to the 1977 animated film The Rescuers, which I actually haven't seen, funny enough. I've only ever seen this movie. But it's set in the Australian outback and centers on Bernard and Bianca, who are from the first film, traveling to Australia to save a boy named Cody from a poacher and who's in pursuit of an endangered bird, an eagle. It was the first animated theatrical film sequel produced by Disney, which is just a fact I actually didn't know until looking into this film a little bit. And it was that was between 89 and 1999. That's considered the Disney Renaissance era. So it was that second film. So very close to the beginning. I think the first film was
Little Mermaid.
Mermaid, yeah.
That was considered the start of it. And then it launched with Beauty and the Beast, which came out after The Rescuers Down Under.
Yes, because, Little Mermaid was 89,
yeah.
Yeah. I actually had that. but it did underperform at the box office compared to other films of that era, like I was saying. Mm-hmm. And last little fun fact is that it was the first film to be completely created digitally and not use a camera.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I find this to be underrated for the reasons I stated as well. It's something that I personally have used to watch a lot when I was younger. I had the VHS back when we used to watch on those. And I haven't seen it in a while, but I had seen it a lot, multiple times. So everything just like even watching it again, everything just clicked back into place for me just because it's burned into your memory at that point when you do repeat viewings like that for movies you really like. So I'm curious to see what you guys thought of the film. So on to my left here, we'll start with Alex. What did you think?
Hey, I thought it was pretty good. I know it wasn't me. It was my parents who contributed a little bit to that $47 million because they bought the tickets for me. I saw it in the theater back in 1990. It was fun. Like I didn't remember anything about it until I saw it again. And it's a good little cooling off film from Tetsuo. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was straightforward. It was fun. It had a good score to it, a lot of good adventure moments. It was nice.
It's just a good old Disney film.
Yeah, no politics, nothing crazy.
Yeah.
You got George C. Scott in there, so that's about as hardcore as it's going to get, and that's all we need. And John Candy, oh man, I miss that voice.
I know, right? And I love that character, Wilbur.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just fun to listen to him. He's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the little side plot with his back all messed up, it had nothing to do with the main story itself, but any chance you can get to get John Candy into the studio, you take it. Even if you have to create like something that veers completely off the path. Yeah. Who cares? You get John Candy. So exactly. Why not?
He's for sure a draw. Because, yeah, I think... So something I kind of noticed watching this time that I obviously never picked up on as a kid. But I've never seen The First Rescuer, so I don't know how that connects. But I feel like whoever his sibling is or his brother or whatever, because they say now under go see Wilbur, like under new management.
Yeah.
Whoever that was before was obviously from the first movie. But then they got John Candy, I guess, to do a voice. So they're like, nah, this is how we're going to fit him in. Yeah. That's what it seemed like to me. But I actually don't know.
I can't remember.
No, I can't remember either. I have seen the first Rescuers, but it's been
Was there
been
like
ages.
A bird, that, eagle, that, or bird character?
Yeah, I don't know. The pilot character was a dragonfly in that one, if I remember.
No,
correctly.
There was a... Wilbur is like almost like a twin brother in a sense to first one. And
so Orville, like the Wright brothers.
There was a... Because I remember they would go flying on a basically a big seagull as well. So.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
That is a gag because I think they... I don't know... who voiced the original.
Yeah.
I can't remember the character's name, but John Candy was like just a replacement and just write it in. But of course, he worked pretty well. So.
Absolutely. And like I said, with the last film we reviewed, every film and movie that we see should have something new in it that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And a bra on an albatross voiced by John Candy. That's something I've never seen before.
That's true.
That's awesome.
That is pretty great. Yeah. His whole getup was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
The little scarf, the aviator cap, and the goggles and stuff. I liked him basically being a plane, like an animal version of a plane, which is pretty cool. Yeah. It's changed. It's very different compared to what we have now, just because you can see like kind of the beginnings of what was to come throughout that. The whole Disney renaissance in the 90s there, right? Mm-hmm. So you can see that as kind of the beginnings. You can see flares of it in that, I find.
Yeah, I liked the animation. I liked how it was smooth and it flowed. And a lot of great shots of the Australian outback, too. That was nice to see.
Yeah, like that opening is pretty cool.
Yeah,
where just like,
absolutely.
It just goes full speed ahead through nothingness. Like nothingness, but lots of stuff still in a way, you know?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It's all nature, but it's still very barren.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get that. I always found like when I was just remembering when I was a kid seeing this is that I felt like I was there. Just the world building was really good because I felt it feels Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of nail the setting, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have something to add? Or
I did. There was... The main bird itself that was the one in danger that George C. Scott's character was going after.
Yeah.
I think the animation on that bird was really realistic. If you've ever watched a nature documentary and you see how birds move and how they blink, how they look around, I think they nailed that really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really picked up on that before. But yeah, now that you mention it, it looked pretty good.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It's almost you don't have that moment where you're like, oh, that's kind of weird, or that bird's moving weird. Yeah, it just all felt natural.
Really natural.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, like kind of all the animal movements were pretty good. Like even like the slithering of that
Joanna,
yeah, right. Like you're like, yeah, that's how he would move because it's kind of like all over the place a little bit. It's kind of like left, right, and like.
It fits for the personality of the creature. Yeah,
yeah.
Why it's all over the place. It's a little bit comical, like anime style,
yeah.
Where it's moving really weird. But I think it works. It makes sense for that character.
Yeah.
in that situation. And George C. Scott, like 1990, so he was old.
Yeah.
Because if you remember seeing him in The Exorcist Part 3, mm-hmm. he was getting pretty up there. But you listen to him in this film, and he's pretty energetic for an old guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I think props to him.
I think both those films came out the same year,
they
actually.
Did.
1990. Yeah, 1990. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so good on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he was putting his effort in. It sure Absolutely. Sounded like it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, see, Scott, he always puts 110% into his performances. He's always great.
That's true. So what about you, Jack? What did you think?
Yeah, I have never seen this movie before. It's one of the few Disney films that I didn't see, because I saw a lot growing up. I actually did get to see The Rescuers growing up, the first one,
yeah,
a few times. So that one's actually more ingrained into my head. So it was cool seeing this movie and just seeing a lot of the similar callbacks, you know, because it is the setup is very similar. Where there's a kid that gets kidnapped by some adult who has, you know, these evil pets, you know, except in the first Rescuers, there's like these two crocodiles or alligators. And then of course, Miss Bianca and Will, what's his, the
Bernard.
Bernard, right. They come and rescue the kid. So those are very similar. But the one thing I will say about this movie that trumps the previous one is the animation. The animation in this movie, particularly the first like 5 minutes, mm-hmm. is some of the best I had ever seen in any Disney animated movie, like 2D. Those flying sequences were outstanding.
Yeah, they look really good.
Like, holy shit. Like, some of those, like, you feel like the Doug Walker, Nostalgia Critic, he was the one who kind of introduced this movie to me originally. He was the first one who exposed me. I was like, oh, okay, there actually is a sequel. And he mentioned how the one thing about this movie that a lot of films don't capture is that sense of you're actually flying. Mm-hmm. You're actually in the air. And this movie really does a good job at that, where you actually feel like you're floating for a split second. Just those moments where the eagle is soaring down, or when you're just hovering over like a waterfall for a split second, you're just taking everything and you're like, holy crap, this is epic. This is amazing. And yeah, anytime there was any flying, it was breathtaking. It was great. And in this movie, it's as you said, Alex, it's just a fun, sweet adventure film. It's a straight up adventure film. There's no BS. It's a perfect family film where you can just get your kids together and just watch a fun, you know, A to Z adventure film that's not offensive. It's fun. It's not stupid. I think all the characters are well written and don't overstay the welcome. Joanna's my favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love that lizard so much. I'm like, this is great. I'm so glad I got to finally see this character in a Disney movie. And George C. Scott, while obviously not the most memorable villain, he is the reason why that villain is memorable.
Yeah.
Yes.
With his performance and his voice. I don't think his character has much depth because he's just, you know, a poacher. We've seen a poacher in a movie, and he dies like every Disney villain falling to his death, which is great. I'm like, some things never change. Yeah. So that was cool. Overall, I did really like this movie. I'm glad I finally got to see it. So, yeah. I enjoyed it.
That's great. What about you, Rylan?
It was a lot of fun. It's my first time as well. Like I said, I'd seen the first Rescuers, but I don't really remember a lot about it. It's pretty meh. This one was solid. It's beautiful to look at. The shots, the background animation, the attention to detail, the lighting, the fluidity of all the characters. It's nice to listen to. Great score. Yeah. Really set the tone. Great vocal performances, especially by John Candy and George C. Scott. So it's really extremely entertaining. I guess we don't really explain why all of the animals except Joanna and the eagle talk, but
no, yeah, there's it's just kind of you go with it kind of thing. It's
Disney logic.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because I know that's just set up I guess, funnier that way, I guess.
I know, yeah. There just seems to be, like, a couple of exceptions that appear in, like, any type of universe like this. And those are these ones, I suppose.
Yeah, the Disney films, some things talk and some don't in different movies. You know, Pocahontas, the animals don't talk, but the trees do.
budget.
Yeah, budget. Pretty much.
Yeah, who knows again, right? Just because... Yeah, maybe they just didn't want to. I don't know why, actually, because, yeah, they actually clearly put some effort into Joanna and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So. Mm-hmm. That egg bit was fantastic. Yeah. That was, yeah, probably was really my probably the funniest part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Just, it was, yeah, like,
I think when I was younger, I really latched onto the animations in that movie. Mm-hmm. That was something that, like, yeah, so, like, the eggs, like, all the food looked, like, good. I don't, yeah, know. It's just something about it. I don't know, like the dinner sequence at the beginning, like the like the pea soup and all that stuff, and, yeah, the way, oh, they were, yeah, like, okay, cooking and stuff. Right. I don't know. It was just kind of. I dug it. I dug all the visuals in that movie.
It's an early iteration really of nice. That like miniature cooking that's so popular right
oh,
now.
Oh yeah, like those what do you call them? Those ovens or whatever that people
easy,
used to buy.
Easy
those
bake ovens.
Easy bake ovens. Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, like not even. There's like people who make miniature. YouTube. Food like cook and eat miniature food that's like the size of like your fingernail.
I've seen
there's like all of these artists that do that now. It's pretty ridiculous.
It is. It's kind of fun to watch though. I gotta,
yeah,
admit,
no, it's hilarious.
It's kinda, yeah,
it's like using like these little like tiny like tools and stuff like that they make oh, themselves, yeah, and like actual like tiny functional kitchen utensils and appliances to make tiny real edible food.
Yeah.
It is pretty fun to watch, I gotta admit.
Yeah. I just had a quick observation. Just like, it seems like the night, like from 77 to like 1990, there is like 10 animated kids films starring mice.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about like The Rescuers, and then you have The Secret of Nim.
Yeah.
And then you have An American Tale. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you have Rescuers Down Under. And then the one that sparked the interest was, oh shit, it's another Disney movie. What? Yes, thank you. The Great Mouse Detective. That's another one. It just seems like the 80s was just like little mice doing human shit all over.
Yeah, it's because they're cute.
They are cute.
Yeah.
And yeah,
those marketable
thing, yeah,
little fuckers.
Yeah, I know.
Anthropomorphize them and make them money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it
then
just works.
And then the 90s, and it became like live action, like Mousetrap.
Mouse Hunt.
Mouse Hunt. Yeah.
Talk,
yeah,
about another classic.
Who's, okay, has everyone seen Mouse Hunt?
Yes.
I saw Peters.
Amazing. I love that. So did I.
Mouse Hunt was always one of my favorites.
Oh, man. My God. Okay, that's too bad. We've all seen it. I watched that to death as a kid. But yeah,
so good. Yeah, just the destruction of that house. It's so. Oh,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
Home Alone.
You remember who? You remember who the the exterminator is played by?
Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God, it's so good.
I know.
Yeah. See, that was like on my list of like repeat viewings, like this. That Mouse Hunt. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I watched the first Rescuers, though, quite a bit, actually. It was one of the ones I did watch. But yeah, I didn't even own this one. I owned every Disney movie growing up, except this one. Like, this, wow, is one of the few ones that just slipped through the radar. I don't know.
It went down under.
Oh, what timing!
Damn.
Damn.
That worked.
Yeah,
Andrew's upset too. That's a perfect, yeah, joke.
Well,
so
speaking of that could be a good segue to your turn, man.
Yeah, what do you think, Zach?
Well, I mean, I come of a very similar background as you, Andrew, on this movie. Because again, I didn't see the first one. I grew up with this one, and I adored it as a kid. And I mean, it's great now too. Like, it does shine through in a number of ways. But obviously, I have a lot of, you know, nostalgia kind of glasses on.
Yeah,
as well.
That's what I was
like,
thinking.
Right from the beginning, it was like, oh man, like just like the flying over, you know, like the title and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
dun,
I remember
dun, dun,
this.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. And the music, and then it goes just the way it goes into the window frame and stuff. And I was like, I remember this like so much as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah,
these like shots, just the way it was like set up and everything, right? It's just those things in your head. And the whole egg scene, I remember loving
me
that
too.
As a kid.
Me too.
I thought,
yeah,
that was fucking funny now. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's a testament that, like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or an adult, it, you know, works for you, right? And many different avenues. And of course, I loved, you know, Georgie Scott and Joanna, like the exchanges between those two. Like, I love it when, like, when they're dropping Joanna down to get like the eggs or whatever, and it's like all rocks, and then he's like yelling down,
yeah,
at Joanna's. I'm just like, the little things like that are like really great too.
Anytime Georgie Scott was yelling, it was instantly, yeah, funny, because he just has that growl, you know, like, hey, get up here.
Well, yeah,
but
exactly.
He makes it funny too.
But he makes,
oh,
it,
yeah,
funny,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
unlike me, it's great.
Yeah, no, he absolutely made that character entertaining.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
like him singing always used to get,
yeah,
me.
Oh. That, me too. Yeah,
home on the range, you know,
yeah,
just the way he's singing, I was just,
yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's so funny. And Yeah, just the little things like that, like, you know, the really funny touches that are still really funny now. The third grade line I thought is great. Just, again, you don't see it coming, and it's like, but it's perfect. It's like, it sums up so much, and it's just, it's awesome. Yeah, and the animation is stunning. Like, I love the shot where, you know, Wilbur, like, dives off when they first take off in New York, and there's all the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that shot's stunning. Like, there's, like I said, the opening shots are really crazy, and... It's just, yeah, it's all around really good. I'm a big fan of this movie, and yeah, I don't know why more people didn't see it. I guess it's because it was a sequel to a movie made years ago at that point. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, it was so much later that it's just one of those things that you could just miss, I guess.
I guess that's really it. I mean, you see, it's like, oh, it's a sequel. Well, I mean, why would I see this movie? Like,
it's such a shame, though, because they don't treat it like a sequel.
They really don't. No. You can watch, I mean, we watched it on its own. That's still missing the first one.
Yeah, I still don't know the connections. I'm just guessing. I knew the mice, right? Bernard and...
Yeah, those two and Miss Bianca and all that.
They rescue people.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's a similar story, and I think that's maybe... Like, I was reading a little bit of the... reviews, and a lot of them are saying that the story is very just generic.
Basic. Right.
Yeah. I think that when you're younger, though, you kind of attach to like characters and visuals and stuff like that a lot more, probably. Like, that's the vibe I get, because like that's what I remember really attaching to in this movie.
And yeah, honestly, like the animation is just, it's insane how good this is. And it does show what Disney end up doing later on, you know, because you got to think also, like, they just did Little Mermaid. It was a big hit. Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
But Disney was still, they hadn't come out of it, of the shitter quite yet.
No.
Yeah, it was looked at as like a single hit kind of thing.
Yeah. And then Beauty and the Beast was the one that really launched off, because then after Beauty and the Beast, you had Aladdin.
Well, Beauty and the Beast was huge.
Yeah.
I used to like, the weird thing is, I think I used to go back to like some of the big ones, but the ones that I was really fond of were some of the ones that weren't as big as like a Beauty and the Beast or a Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Like, I used to watch this a lot, right? Which it went way under the radar. I watched Fox and the Hound a lot, and that wasn't quite as big as those other ones.
No.
Right? It was popular, but
my favorite growing up was Peter Pan. Like, that's when I used
to watch
all the time. Yeah. And I used to watch Fox and the Hound too. Robin Hood.
I was just about to say, you want to talk about an underrated
Disney Robin
movie
Hood
that
great.
I grew up with that I watched many times is Robin
Hood. Oh, Robin Hood is fantastic.
I actually love that.
It's also
movie.
Underrated how funny that movie is too, especially with King John and his snake. I forget
the names. It's been so long, right?
And the action sequences are great too. The only thing that hinders that movie, as you can tell, is during the weakest time of Disney history, and the animation is a little cheap.
Sure. But
it's
a good movie.
Yeah,
though.
And they actually reused some animation from The Jungle Book, too.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. Certain dance sequences, they kind of just traced over in the same. That wasn't the only movie they did that. They did it a lot during the 60s and 70s, because this was, again, the kind of like the low period of Disney.
Yeah.
So.
But man, that movie's really good, too. Like, that's another... potential. And I think I have it on VHS only.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah.
I got a massive VHS collection for that.
Probably actually the one Disney film that is the most obscure that I used to watch all the time was The Three Caballeros.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I never saw it. But
yeah,
I know
either.
It's, if you were to watch it now, it's the most random movie ever. And some of it is a little outdated. But it's basically just a Donald Duck live action animation crossover where... It was just like a series of like kind of like there's no real plot, no real like main arc. It's not like a like what we just watched. It's like a series of vignettes kind of stitched together with some unique like just Donald Duck perving over a woman, and then one where he gets together with like this Mexican bird with a sombrero, and I forget the other one, this parrot. And they're just randomly just doing nonsense stuff that shows like the culture of like wherever they are or something like that.
Oh, weird.
And it's very unique, but I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid, just seeing all the dance sequences and all the visual humor and all that really worked.
So a cartoon version of Tetsuo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
what
I get.
You know what? We should rewatch this.
You know, for the kiddies.
Yeah. You know, a good family film, too, for all ages.
Yeah, yeah.
In this day and age,
No, and after this, there's not a whole lot of other Disney movies I have left to see. Like, Oh God.
Oh, like from their back catalog.
Yeah, all like the main theatrical release films. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I was gonna be a smartass and be like, "Did you see the Jungle Book?"
I was gonna say, wasn't there the Lion King 2 or whatever?
Oh yeah, straight two and to half.
You know what?
Two and a half. That's what it was. Yeah. I thought it was a 0.5.
No, it's 1.5.
One and a half.
It's right there.
Right, on
that makes sense. Yeah. Wasn't there also a 2?
There was.
Yeah, Lion King 2, and then 1.5 came out after 2. And actually, probably the result of this movie is probably why we have all those shitty Disney sequels, because look what happened. They made one theatrical release sequel. It doesn't do too well, so they do all DVD after that, with the first one being Return of Jafar.
Right.
And then after that, it was just like every year, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. You know? They did the Beauty and the Beast one, too. Yeah. That one. And
there's two Beauty and the Beast
ones. Right.
There's the Enchanted Christmas and all that.
That's the one I saw, was the Enchanted Christmas.
And then there's like Hunchback, there's the Aladdin, there's Hercules, there's Atlantis. All those I'm not thinking of all the TV shows
who did Prince of Egypt.
Oh, that's DreamWorks.
Yeah. It was one of their early ones.
That was their first one.
Was it first?
I think that was their first movie.
Okay.
Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a classic. Oh,
so good.
It is so great. No, it is great. I love that movie.
Back when he actually went by The Rock.
It's so good.
Yeah, for his first three movies, he was just The Rock. And then finally he added Dwayne.
It's like, wait,
yeah.
Dwayne.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. And, no, there was some other one as well that, it was...
The Road to El Dorado.
Oh, that one. That was what I was thinking of. Yeah.
That's also DreamWorks.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that was when they were having like their first bit of success there.
Yeah. No, I watched that one a lot too. It was so good. Chicken Run. I used to watch all
of them. Oh, Chicken Run is awesome.
Nice.
That was good.
Yeah, no, those ones were like in the mid-2000s. Because Disney's like near the end of the Renaissance, it started becoming less prevalent. You know, after kind of Tarzan Tarzan's considered the last one of the Renaissance. Because after that was Fantasia 2000. That dinosaur movie.
The
3D one, which I saw that in theaters and it was meh. And then Atlantis, The Lost Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Which... I need to watch it again. I haven't seen it.
I actually love the first Atlantis movie. I mean, the sequel is complete trash, but
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
There was Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet's a good one.
Before Treasure Planet, there was Lilo and Stitch, which was a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then after Treasure Planet, then you had Brother Bear.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah. And then you had Home on the Range.
Oh, boy.
And then it was done. Then it went all to like the CG stuff of like Meet the Robinsons and Chicken Little. Yeah.
And... Chicken Little and Night Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then Bolt.
I heard Bolt was good.
I liked Bolt.
Yeah.
I think I'm forgetting one. But anyways, like Disney really dipped after really Tarzan.
Yeah, it wasn't, I guess, until what, The Princess and the Frog.
I was going to say.
That's the only one they've done since. That's 2D, so yeah. No, after like Lion King, then they had Pocahontas, which didn't do too well. It was mixed, but it's whatever. And then there's The Hunchback, which I think is really good.
I want to make a horror movie version of Pocahontas called Pocahontas, where they haunt people.
So anyway...
I fucking murdered Jack.
I think
I was surprised.
How did you not see that coming up? How did you not see that a mile away?
And Andrew's just so upset.
I think how off topic we're going is probably
we're staying on topic with Disney.
It's Disney. It's Disney.
Oh my god!
No.
I don't know why it broke me, but that works.
Yeah, Pocahontas.
It's great.
Yeah, but when we're naming all these movies, but I can it makes sense why. Like, I'm not surprised this didn't do too well. Because besides the animation, there's nothing
it's
really...
It's a little more by the numbers.
Yeah, there's nothing that stands out besides the animation, in my opinion.
I think the comedy
stands out.
I would say the music is pretty good,
too. Yeah, that too.
I dig it. Yeah. Like, it really fits the tone of the movie, just because like, you know, it's like that... It feels like it fits in an Australian setting. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, dun, 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 right?
It
like,
really
it's
does.
Really... fast. It has all the like kind of like drum sounds, yep. And like kind of like maracas almost stuff kinda like that. Right?
It's exactly like it's perfect. It's perfect like Australian culture. Like the entire thing just reeks of Australia.
And that soaring like adventuring theme has always been a mm-hmm. I love that. So
yeah, but yeah, no, it works. No, all that works well. But again, like when you compare it to like. How iconic all the other films were surrounding it. It's kind of, again, you can't, I'm not surprised. It's kind of still.
Well, following up Little Mermaid, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, even like all the other animated films around that time. And also what it came out against, like it opened, I read that it opened fourth in its opening weekend up against like.
Yeah. Home it Alone. Opened very poorly.
Yeah. Opening yeah. against, like they pulled all the advertisements after 1 week.
Yep. Damn. I remember they completely lost confidence in the movie right away. Like it was, they dropped it so
I still
hard.
Think the main reason though that it wasn't successful is because it was a sequel to a movie that was 13 years older.
Yeah, and then
I think that's a bad
at that time people are
too.
Like oh I don't know this series,
yeah, why would I go see it? Why? And it makes sense.
Yeah, like the kids who might have seen it are like grown up and have their own kids, which can work to your advantage sometime, like work,
if you happen to see it and,
work
yeah.
be though advantageous
the,
for you but
though the
yeah.
first one was a bigger hit.
Yeah, I mean the only other thing I can think of that's kind of done that like or Disney wise is the Toy Story, right? Because between Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3, that was a big gap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like God, what was that? It was under 10 years.
Yeah, actually the one that had the longest times between sequels was Peter Pan, actually, because they did release the Return to Neverland animated sequel in like 2002 or something like that in theaters.
Right.
So they released a direct-to-DVD movie in theaters because I thought, oh, this actually won't be too bad. So that one, the first Peter Pan was released in like 1952 or something like that. So that's like almost 50 years in between sequels. So I think that one holds the record.
That's the longest, yeah. Yeah. But then it was also the fact, I think, that like, say for Toy Story, that it was the third. It wasn't just like a sequel. It was like it was the end of a trilogy. But it had happened, the second entry had been so long ago. Mm-hmm. That it was it just worked out though because all the adults went to go see it, right? Because it was so big.
Yeah, and also,
I guess the difference is the Rescuers wasn't that as big.
Yeah, it still
remotely as big.
It
as,
still
like,
isn't nowhere near as iconic or memorable as everything else. Like I think people would still bring up like Fox and the Hound more, or these two films or any of the other like Robin Hood, Sword in the Stone, any of these movies are, I still think, have much more staying power than The Rescuers.
I think they had more going for the plot-wise, right? Like, say Fox and the Hound, for instance, that's, like, really emotional and like, the plot's pretty impactful and it's
got some depth to it.
Yeah, it's got depth. This, I agree that this is pretty, like, the plot is pretty superficial. It's just, like, doesn't have much depth to it. It's just a little shallow, I guess, a little straight to the point. It's like a fun adventure film.
I think,
and that's about it.
I think adding any of that, I think, would have messed up the movie, though. I think,
it's like a quick, like, lean, like, quick pace kind of just one adventure.
Yeah, and they executed this movie tremendously well, like, from such a very, vague plot and just overall story, what they did with it was really good. We've been glowing over the animation for this movie, and deservedly so. It's breathtaking. It's great. It's as you were saying, it's so smooth, and just the depths they put into like the characters, especially when they're flying in the wind, and then all like kind of like the early CG landscapes of the city lines and all that were still like really cool, because you just see the depth of them coming towards you and all that, and just the overall presentation and just very execution good, was really solid. It was really good.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's one of those movies that I think like you were saying, Zach, I think nostalgia kind of plays a factor.
Yeah,
just because you remember it so fondly. But then at the same time, it is still solid.
I think the testament that it works so well, again, it's like it proves that, no, it's not like just nostalgia, though, because otherwise you'd be able to tell. You'd be able to be like, okay, like nostalgia, I remember this, but, maybe this, I don't remember this being as good as I thought it was. But this actually, like, it held up in every regard.
Yeah.
Really. So I think that's a big testament to the film.
Overall. I think this is a good film to to kind of like, if you have like, if you have kids, then to show to your own kids, right? Something that they can really easily enjoy and grasp onto. And it's not too crazy in that it's like emotionally all over the place, right? Like imagine showing your kid like Up or something, you know, where it's like, whoa, that's just like,
that's heavy.
That's heavy for like a, say like a 3-4 year old or something, right? You show them something like this, like they'll still feel, they'll feel like strong emotions because they're young, right? They latch onto things a lot more. They'll feel strong emotions, but it won't be as like emotionally like it won't take you emotionally all over the place like something like modern Disney Pixar and stuff like that, where it takes you to some pretty crazy places, like, because, you know, like Up, for instance, deals with like cancer and stuff, well, like death and stuff like that in a big way, and like some pretty adult issues. Whereas like something like this, like I feel it works really well for young kids, especially if you want to introduce them to like movies and animation and Disney. I think stuff like this works great. It works for a younger audience as well.
This is safer to show your kids than Bambi, that's for sure.
I mean, Tets of the Iron Man might be a little safer though.
Tets
of the Iron Man, I think that's a good kid's.
That's if you want to like, hey, you got an F in your report card.
That's if you really want to
test. That's abuse.
That's if you really want to test your kid's resolve
and sanity.
See how much damage you really can do. I guess we'll just go around the table now and get some final thoughts and sum up what you guys thought.
I'll mention one thing though. We were talking about the two birds and all that, Wilbur and
Wilbur and...
The original voice actor, I don't know who he is. His name is Jim Jordan. He was in this old show in the 30s and 40s, but he died before this one came out. And one little thing, do you know the significance between with the names Orville and Wilbur?
I said it already.
Oh, you did?
She did.
Oh,
yeah,
I missed that. Sorry.
So she mentioned it.
Oh, okay, my bad. I didn't hear that. Sorry.
But that's a neat little, you know, fun fact.
Too bad I missed it.
Yeah. No, I for sure missed it, and I also never saw. I would never have gotten that reference when I was younger.
Neither would I. I wouldn't have got that until I looked up. Like,
B, I never saw the first one, so that reference would mean nothing to me again. So, like, because I wouldn't have known half of it. I wouldn't have made that connection. So, yeah. But it's interesting to know now, because that's new information for me. So, yeah.
Does this, after rewatching this, does this make you want to watch the original? The very first one?
Does it make me want to... I'd watch the original. I'm interested in what... Yeah, for sure. Like, it's one of those things where I like this movie a lot, and I have fond memories of it that I would absolutely love to see the characters again in something different. I don't know that I'll like it as much because, something I absolutely noticed about this movie watching it again was how much I was into the setting. So changing setting, I don't know, because then you'd lose the Australian outback and all that stuff that kind of brought me in a big way.
The animation is so different too. Like, it's
also the age of the film too, right? I'm wondering I'm curious. I'm definitely curious enough to watch
the
original.
It's a lot darker. Like, the first one is a lot darker.
Yeah,
I was
going to say, it's the settings are a lot darker, so it doesn't you don't get to play with light and color the way that this film
does. They're more in a swamp. That's where she's being chase being held, but it's still like it's more of the kind of like that moody kind of like murky kind of like
sexy
it works for that setting, but like I said, it's still, the animation is also a lot cheaper on the end too. Like, they're, for budget comparisons, this one I think you said it was like, what, $30 million the budget for this one?
37.
The original was only 7. Just to kind of give you an idea, and even though there was a 13-year difference,
inflation and stuff, but there's still a difference.
It's still a huge difference. So,
So I guess we'll go to you, Alex. So just some final thoughts.
As Jack was saying, it's a family film, and it is, like, both kids and adults can enjoy it. I think, like I said, I don't remember watching it as a kid in the theater. I imagine I had a good time watching it because I was very susceptible to entertainment and just laughing at anything. But even watching it now, I was laughing. Like, it was a good time.
I think I was laughing at different stuff. Well, some of the same stuff for sure, but at different stuff as well, like finding it a little funnier, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joanna, I think I want to make a comparison to The Land Before Time.
Oh yeah.
Think they were trying to take a little bit of the comedic elements from there and bring it into this film, because after the success of The Little Mermaid, Disney had some money. So I think the idea was that some exec or someone at Disney said, I've wanted to do a sequel to The Rescuers. Now we got the money. Now we got the time. Let's do it. And they said, okay, well, we got to make it a little modern. Okay, Australia, we'll make it brighter. And what else? We got to get the kids in. So we'll put in like a dinosaur kind of thing.
Yeah.
That'll get them in. So Land Before Time.
Yeah. Dinosaurs were big at that time.
Yeah, they were definitely big. Yeah. I was into dinosaurs for years and years in the 80s.
I just remember
we're back.
That.
A dinosaur tale.
Oh, yeah.
Dinosaurs were the kids thing in the 90s. Yep. Big time.
Yeah.
Between Jurassic Park and Land Before Time. And there were so many. Like McDonald's would have kids' meal toys with... dinosaur stuff like throughout the multiple points. I remember that.
Beast Wars.
Oh, God, yeah. But yeah, dinosaurs are huge. So I get that. That makes sense. It's like a reptile, like dinosaur-esque like animal, right? So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, just to bring that in a little bit for some not revival, but just some more color to it. Yeah. Make it a little bit different from the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they had enough characters that it could keep the storyline going, but they didn't have so many characters that your attention was all over the place with it. Like, you had the two main, you had Wilbur, you had the villain and the sidekick.
Yeah.
So they kept it pretty tight, which was great.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really much to say about the rescuers themselves. Yeah. But I do want to mention Bob Newhart, because he's a good guy, and I like Bob.
Yeah.
And you could really hear his, like, just the dullness, sorry, Bob, the dullness of the Bob Newhart voice, but I think it fits.
It did,
It goes well with the character, and I think at the time in 77 when the first one came out, I think he was pretty well known at that point, because MASH was still... on TV, I'm thinking.
Well, he had the 77. Well, he had the Bob Newhart show, and then he had he had a second show after that too. I'm not sure everything he did around the 70s though. So,
but MASH was around.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting he was in that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There were a lot of people in MASH.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It was a MASH of many sorts of people.
Oh, shut up.
You broke Alex.
That's enough
it
of
was
that.
A MASH. Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
So, all around, good film. Nothing that stands out too much or that makes it too great, but it's definitely a film to sit down and watch and have a good time with friends and or family, or I think even by yourself. You can sit down, you can have a good laugh and a good time with a film like this. Absolutely.
All right. What about you, Jack? Final thoughts?
Yeah, no, overall, I'm glad I finally got to see this movie. The one Disney film released the 1 month before I was born. So it was the last movie released before I was alive.
There you go. So it was Tetsuo for me.
Yeah.
It was
oh, wow. You know what? You're right.
There you go.
That's a good set. Good connection there, man. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Let's never speak of it again. I'm sorry. I'm too mean to Tetsuo.
You are.
But yeah, no, overall, this movie was pretty solid. It's definitely underrated, for sure, compared to all the other Disney movies that we have listed in this entire episode so far.
Oh, yeah.
Did you mention Fern Gully? Was that Disney as well?
That was not Disney.
No.
Never mind.
That, I think it was Warner Brothers, something like that.
What about The Black Cauldron?
That was Disney.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, okay.
That's considered the lowest of Disney lows.
Yeah.
Fuck everyone who says that. I love The Black Cauldron.
You know what it lost to in the opening weekend?
I don't remember that.
The Care Bears movie.
Oh. That's how far down they went. How far down society was in the toilet that they had to choose Care Bears over The Black Cauldron.
I know.
Fuck all you people.
I think I only read the books. I don't think I ever saw that movie.
I've seen the Care Bear movie.
Oh.
Jack.
Thanks, Mom.
What about Was that Mickey Mouse Christmas? Like, I think it's Once Upon a Something or whatever. It's like Mickey Mouse
they
Christmas.
They have Once Upon and Twice Upon a Christmas.
That's what it was. They were both home releases?
Yes.
Yes.
Both of them? Okay.
Pretty much any, like, besides
because they're just like anthologies. Of, like,
their own self-contained short stories.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did in like the late 40s. They would take a bunch of like short films and then just kind of make an anthology film out of it. That's where we got like the Toad one again? Proper in the... no, that's not his name. What was the one with the throwing pumpkin head again? What's that one called again?
That was Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah, Sleepy Hollow.
Ichabod
Crane. Yeah, those ones. And all those films were kind of like just little shorts that they compiled together because they were cheap. And it was just after the war, too. So they were sort of bringing it up. And then Cinderella kind of took them back off to their theatrical ways.
Yeah.
But anyways, overall, I think this is a solid movie. Definitely recommend it to pretty much anybody. I think anyone can at least see this movie once and get something out of it. And I can't wait to show this to my kids growing up one day.
Right?
It should be one of those, even watching both movies back to back, I think be kind of neat one day.
I'm sure the kids would love this movie.
They
for
would.
Sure, too. It's,
yeah.
it's a good thing to share, I think.
Yeah, and like the fact that I still remember the first one, and I probably haven't seen it in like 20 years or something like that.
Sticks out. Eh?
It still sticks out, and it's definitely, it's no Aristocrats.
right, yeah.
Which, oh boy. forget about
it. Did we didn't mention the Groovy movie, did we?
Oh, the Goofy movie, you mean?
I mean,
you mean Evil Dead?
The Evil Dead Groovy movie? Yeah.
The Goofy Groovy movie.
Groovy movie.
I saw that,
I'd see
too.
That.
I've seen the Goofy movie.
Yeah, I have too,
That one was...
Skateboarding?
Oh, yeah. I remember...
I love that movie.
Yeah, no, that was hot. Actually, that one's... Yeah, I remember that being really actually good. I heard it's still holds up because of the dynamic with...
Goofy and his son Max.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like handled really well and all
it
that.
It totally is. Yeah.
So
he's embarrassed. It's that growing up.
Yeah.
Is like a almost a teenager kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to have your own identity and stuff like that, and your dad's embarrassing, right?
Pretty
especially
much.
If your dad's Goofy.
yeah, it's Goofy. Like, come on.
Yeah, but Goofy wasn't much of a character up until that point. I don't think like with much depth. He was very superficial, right?
Once that Goof Troop
very
show came out when. The Goof Troop's coming out, and that's what the Goofy movie came out as. That really added into Goofy's world because he was just the idiot who shit happened to him. There wasn't much to him. I don't even think he had a girlfriend.
He just had the funny voice.
There was no female equivalent of Goofy.
No.
There was just a bunch of Goofies, and they would be mean and get tackled and get stuck in. I'm rambling now. I'm just flashing all these like old Disney cartoons. I'm like, there's so many I can't.
I know they
this
all
shit.
Like melt together. It's like Kingdom Hearts in your head.
God, if I actually played those games.
It's like just Disney. I don't know. They're all together. It's all mixing together.
I don't know. I always watched Donald Duck growing up. That was my shit. It was always Donald Duck.
Yeah. I think it's just everybody has nostalgia for Disney. So I think at a certain point, it just. Everything holds up from Disney, but most things
some things like Song of the South
jeez
actually I can say that's one of the other Disney films I have not seen, however
there's a lot of Disney films I haven't seen for sure. Just there's so many.
What's the main one you haven't seen?
Ones that I haven't seen, like there was a bunch you guys were mentioning that
Hunchback
I haven't seen
in Notre Dame.
No, I've seen that. No, you were mentioning like
Aristocats,
and like Black Cauldron. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen like there were a few that you there was okay. a few others that you were mentioning. There was that one you were describing earlier.
Oh, the Three Caballeros.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
there's a decent amount. There's just so many Disney movies.
All
it's
dogs
to,
go
like,
to hell.
All dogs go to hell.
That's Don Bluth.
Especially if you're in China.
Yeah.
Ooh. You need a black cauldron for that one, don't you, bitches?
Ouch.
Damn, man. All right, so Rylan, final thoughts from you.
So you're not a fan of Mulan.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Mulan's good. Really?
Yeah.
No.
Mulan, I also haven't seen. Although now all I can think of when I hear Mulan is Szechuan sauce.
Oh. Right.
So, I think Mulan's been ruined for me.
You'll watch it one of these days.
I just want to get my Szechuan sauce.
Oh, Jesus.
That movie's now ruined for every McDonald's employee ever, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm so glad I didn't actually go down to one of those locations in the States.
Oh, my God. Can you believe
Szechuan sauce? I was, like, thinking about it. I'm like, it might be funny. I'm like, nah.
And they ran out.
No.
And then I heard all the drama. It's like, oh, thank God. I didn't even go near that.
Oh, yeah, and, like, packets of the sauce are going on eBay for, like, hundreds of dollars or something. It's just like, fuck's sakes, you guys.
Oh, Jesus. But, yes, so just some final thoughts from you, Rylan.
Yeah, this is a solid movie. Really good family film or all-ages film. There's definitely something for everybody in here. You can get some enjoyment out of it. Yeah, I mean, I think really just because I didn't grow up with this movie, I don't have that nostalgia for it, so I'm not sure if I would lump it in with any of my top favorite Disney movies or even go so far as to call it underrated, but it's definitely one that I would, and I don't know if it has much rewatch value for a movie by myself either, but it's definitely one that I would pull out in a few years to show to any future offspring I may have.
Zach? The nostalgia is great with you.
Rescuers!
Oh my.
Come out to play!
this is a silly one. I think Tetsuo just fucked with us so much that we couldn't even.
It's past all y'all bedtimes.
That we couldn't even, we were all just in shock. But then now it's a kids' movie. The silliness is coming out.
That's it. Yeah, the deadly combo. You heat up with the first film. You get overwhelmed. You get seeing crazy shit, and then you get to that nice. Kids film, you just kind of soften out a little too much and just let it all out. So that's what happens.
Is this an allegory for bowel movements? What are you talking about?
Yes. I mean, it's good.
And that about sums it up with Zach. All right. That's, yeah, no, I, you know, it's, yeah, it, it's definitely something that is more kid family friendly. So it's not, if you're looking for a Disney Pixar level of quality from Disney, it's not that. It's just the beginnings, but there is something still there. So that's why I would argue it's underrated, just because it's not on any radar.
Oh yeah,
pretty
for
much.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
It's something that you wouldn't regret watching, and it's especially something that if you have kids, pull it out and watch it with them, because it's something you don't have to just put on for them. You could watch with them and feel good about it. Yep. So, but just about sums this one up. I think next week is Alex.
Yeah.
I actually, I'm interested for your picks I've been surprised by what you've brought a few times now. So, where I've kind of just enjoyed it and been pleasantly surprised. So, unlike some people's picks.
We get a Bernie's too. We get a Bernie's too.
No,
let's go.
No. I'll quit the show.
We get a Bernie's too. Now that's
a good
be
film.
On board with.
That's a good film right there.
That's right. I have a very good time.
I'll give you this, at least that over the first one. So.
Yeah, we established that because I remember we watched two at first. I made you watch it, and you just sat there in misery. And then we're like, let's watch the first one, because I bought it for Jack. And then Andrew happened to be there, and you were just like, they didn't even go for it. Like, the second one at least went all out. But, the first one's just bad.
The first one's just boring as shit.
I think it's hilarious.
Your sense of humor, man.
I think Jack watching it is hilarious.
I mean, that, yeah. And that heightens the experience. You're absolutely correct.
Well, that's probably why you enjoy it so much.
I don't know. We can't have Bernie's is pretty good. There is humor there.
There's something about a dead body just getting, like, hit, and it's great.
Yeah, and just having it's a dead body, like, people react to a dead body.
I just remember it on the jet ski or whatever, just, like, hitting a bunch of, I mean, so that's good. Great.
The
like,
imagery in that
it
movie.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, comedy gold.
I watched the Siskel and Ebert review of this movie, and it made me so happy.
Someone's on your level.
Oh, they were right with me, man. Just like
that was when that's when they had to take it seriously. But yeah. You know that
then
they
got voodoo in number two. So
see, that's
it gets
the thing.
It gets better.
They at least even acknowledge better. How stupid and ridiculous this whole premise is. So just go with it and just do whatever you want and. It still sucks, but
what's
know.
Worse, the voodoo in Weekend at Bernie's 2 or the voodoo in Blues Brothers 2000?
Oh.
Yay.
That's a good question. I haven't seen Blues Brothers 2000, so I can't really say exactly, but both.
Yeah, I think you can go with that.
Just voodoo in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because both are unnecessary comedies, but, you know, which one's more offensive? I don't know. Mm. There's nothing to hang on to Weekend at Bernie's at all, so I guess that's worse. But at the same time, Blues Brothers 2000 had hype because it was the sequel, and being a letdown, maybe that's worse. I don't know. I think I'm thinking too hard about this
it
right
gave
now.
People the blues.
That's right.
That was the worst. So, you had me laughing my ass off on the last two you just did, and this one, nope, you're done.
Oh, yeah, blues.
So, Alex, are you picking Weekend at Bernie's 2, or is that... off the table, okay.
No, it's going to be Revenge of the Nerds 2. No.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's going to be another film involving the media.
Ooh, good question.
Partially, yeah.
Good question. Okay.
It's going to be what, EdTV? EdTV with Matthew McConaughey?
No, if I had to go with something like that, I'd pick Truman Show, but that's
more
popular.
Right,
but
you're right, yeah.
I can't Truman go with something Show. Like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's too popular.
Even though it was a great film. But a lot of people know Peter Weir films, so I can't go there.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But I got somewhere to go, and the name is Bob. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I know it is. Okay.
No, you
do.
Oh.
I do.
No,
you mentioned it before.
Oh, maybe I did.
You did. You mentioned it to me. Yeah.
It gave me the blues.
Oh. Okay. He took it back.
All right. So until next week, then, later, Gator.